Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
There was this lonely stranger, just lonely, and he goes into a deserted restaurant, and he's just lonely and bedraggled, and orders the breakfast special, and when his order arrives, he just kind of looks at the waitress, with these sad eyes, and he asks her, how about a kind word? And the waitress leans over and whispers to him, don't eat the meat. Well, what can I say? At least I like them myself. Tonight we're finishing out the series that I've called. Oh wait, I've got to get my hold on. Carry on that conversation again with each other. I got to get my tech arranged here. And while you're carrying on that conversation, I get this all lined up. So we've talked about the best of the best, and it's been a character study. If you happen not to have been here for some of the classes, all three of the previous are out on the table. There was something different each week. And so tonight we're going to talk about one of the best friendships in the Bible. And we're going to look at David and Jonathan. This is just a really powerful story out of God's Word. And this is going to be one of those classes. I understand this is something that is a real struggle, probably for all of us. We're talking about cultivating friends and close friendships and all that. And so this, it can really be a challenge. And so just hold with us tonight and open your heart. And I believe God's going to help us. Loneliness is a terrible feeling, isn't it? Thomas Wolfe, the famous American novelist, said these words, "The whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness, far from being a rare and curious phenomenon, peculiar to myself and a few other solitary men, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence." Now, that is a depressing statement. he's saying, you may as well face it, you're going to be lonely. And so we're going to challenge that statement tonight in the midst of this class, because Christianity and our coming to Christ really should be something where we're brought into relationship with not only God, but also with each other, right? And so it is true. Loneliness will and can and does visit our lives from time to time. There have been times I've sat in a room full of believers, other believers, and have felt kind of lonely. But the Christian life provides one of the greatest opportunities for a sense of belonging, of being needed, and of having and being a friend. Now, this next statement is important because it's true. I think that this class, the other statements following this one are true, is true too, but this is important, and it's true. One of the measures of our spirituality is our ability to make, keep, and be a friend. Now, I say that, and I know, excuse me, I know it's very challenging, friendship, making friends, being a friend. And some of you, with that last statement that I read, may be kind of freaking out and saying, well, and thinking, judging yourself, well, I must not be very spiritual then, because I don't know how great I am about making and being a friend. But listen, Our Christian life is all about growing. And that's not just in our relationship with God, but also with others. And so I think all of us can be challenged in cultivating close relationships. And so if that's you, you're not alone. Tell yourself, I'm not alone. But we are meant to develop and cultivate more than just casual become more than just casual acquaintances with each other, you know, where it's, hey, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm doing great. How about the weather? It's great, except for the wind. You know, that kind of, you know, and that's that's all right here and there. But through Christ, we can learn to cultivate close friendships. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend is somebody that will be there when we're happy or sad. The Bible says, weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. They'll be there, excuse me, for us in our good times or bad. if we're in the penthouse or the outhouse. Now, I really just use that as a comical statement because I'm thinking about it. You don't really want your friend with you in the outhouse. But anyway, we're going to look at David and Jonathan because their friendship is one of those that we can learn a lot from. And the text we're using and we're going to draw from partially is 1 Samuel 23, verse 15 through 18. So David saw that Saul, and so let me just back up here, because if you don't know the story, David had been anointed to become the king of Israel. Saul is the current king. Saul didn't like the idea of David becoming king, and so Saul is chasing David and wanting to kill him, all right? So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Man, that portion of Scripture moves me because Jonathan is, what a friend, right? You and I need friends. A friend will be there to encourage us. A friend is somebody that is there if we've messed up. A friend is somebody that we can share life with. And they also help us become who we are called to be. They help us grow in Christ. And so we were created to need each other. We are not good just in all by ourselves. In Genesis, God created everything. Chapter 1, 7 times as God looks at his creation, he said, it is good, it was good, it was good. Then in chapter 2, we read for the first time in the Bible where it says something wasn't good. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So from the very beginning, we were created with a need for others. And this in Genesis 2 is specifically talking about family, you know, and then Eve was created and all that out of Adam. But it's also true of friendships and relationships. We need others. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Proverbs 27, 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. People who are isolated get weird. As I was preparing these notes, I thought, you know, that there's just no really other way to put that, you know. I mean, I could have been, you know, but it's true. if we are off, and before I got saved, there was a span of time there where I was kind of isolated by myself. And I tell you what, I was kind of weird. So that's why I put that, I'm using myself to. But anyway, we get weird when we're isolated. We need other people to balance us out. Help us out. A long time ago, years ago, I was at Sky Harbor in Phoenix getting ready to take a flight, and Joe Whitinger, a friend of mine, was with me. We were going somewhere. We were both young pastors, and I remember, I can remember, I was at the TWA ticket counter, and the woman that was behind the counter irritated me. She was not being helpful, not being friendly, not being nice, and you know, just kind of, she was just straight up rude, and she irritated me. You know, here I am, this young pastor, and I need good service. I want good service. And so she irritated me, and I walked off, and I was talking to Joe about complaining, griping about this woman, and said, man, she's just rude. TWA, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll write a letter to TWA. I'll complain. I'll get her new name and write a letter and get a reprimand for her. And Joe looked back at me. It was hilarious. And all he said was, yep, and seal bitterness in your heart. That's all he said. And I thought, okay. I sent that letter. No, I didn't. I got her fired. No, I didn't. I just let it go. A lot of, you know, this will really help with relationships of any kind. A lot of times, stuff you just need to let it go. Amen. Never mind. I'll get off track on that. But we need others to help us keep from getting weird. Now, I don't want you to look at somebody tonight and tell them you're getting weird. Don't do that. You can do that later. We need friends because anyone can be spiritual all alone. You know when I am at my best? I am at my best when I am in morning prayer all by myself. I am compassionate, I am loving, I am holy, I am, when it's just me and God, you know, I'm so spiritual. And then I come into the office. No. It's really only when we get around others that we find out how spiritual we really are, huh? It was either Lucy or Charlie Brown, one of the Peanuts characters, that said, I love mankind, it's just people I can't stand. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So it's the measure of our spirituality, of our Christianity, is our love and our ability to care for others, our interactions with others. That's when the real us comes out. It's See, like I said, in morning, and I know I'm kind of joking about it, but in all seriousness, I am so good between just me and God. It's getting around other people, and so that's where the real challenge of life is, and that's why we need each other. To help us become loving. It's easy to love God. I mean, he's perfect. It's these people I work with. No. Wow. I know. I'm right. You're right. I'm rolling right down that hill. Stop. Hey, somebody ought to just tell me, you're getting weird. Thank you. But I have been a Christian for a long time. And it, I still amaze myself sometimes about how touchy I can be, oversensitive. Do you ever surprise yourself about how touchy you can be? You know, what do they mean by that? Or you ever just feel like giving somebody a piece of your mind? I think I'll give them a piece of my mind. You know what? I got to realizing a long time ago there, that's the real problem with a lot of people. They've given away too many of those pieces. That's the problem with a lot of people. You might want that piece someday. Just suggestion. We can be, and church people can be so touchy. I'm going to just drop that and move through the class because I've got a lot of material to cover. We need to recognize the value of having friends, because if we, unless we recognize the value of friendship, we will probably never take the trouble to make or be a friend, because it does take real effort. One of the most important verses in the Bible about friendship is in Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Over the years, and I've been pastoring a long time, over the years I've had countless people that have told me, you know, people just aren't friendly to me, or I'm, you know, I just don't have friends. And I understand this is, it's no joking matter, but I've also noticed that sometimes some of these people are the ones that they don't, to have a friend, we got to be friendly. We got to put ourselves out there, and it's uncomfortable. I remember my first church, and when I was pastoring, I was uncomfortable like all the time. And it was, I had to put myself and develop relationships with these people and all. And it's still to this day, it can be challenging, right? We've got to just put ourselves out there and be friendly. I have worked, every friend that I have, I've worked for. Seriously. I was thinking about it. I've got a handful of really close friends, just a few that are super close friends that have been friends for a long time. But I've had to work at all of those friendships and relationships. It's been real work. Let me tell you But not only for me, but also for them, because I can be touchy. I was waiting for somebody to say, you're being weird again, but thank you for not doing that. The Bible gives us some great examples of friendships. Moses and Joshua, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus and the 12 disciples, Paul and Timothy, but one of the best examples of friendship in the Bible is David and Jonathan. From the first time they met, they hit it off. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 57 and 58 says, and then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And so David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. All right, so 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 is the very next verse. It says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I really love this story because all of us, no doubt, know the story of David and Goliath. David has killed Goliath. He took Goliath's own sword, chopped his head off. And so, listen, if you look in this 1 Samuel 17, then they went and they killed a whole bunch of Philistines after Goliath was killed and all that. And now this is after this big, long battle, and David's got Goliath's head in his hand. It's hilarious to me. Some time has passed, and he's And it's a big old head, too. This guy was a giant. And so I just, the mental image just is just too much for me. Here's David. He's standing there. Saul and Jonathan, David standing there. You know. A gobbledygook is coming, you know. And so Jonathan looks at him and he said, man, I like this guy. That's the kind of guy I can be a friend with. It's wonderful. One thing was really clear, that David needed Jonathan's friendship, and we need others' friendships. It's doubtful that David would have even survived without Jonathan's help. And Jonathan helped David become the man that we know. We need to recognize the value of friendship. We have to look for and then cultivate our relationships with others. And this goes just beyond those in our own family. Yeah, and again, it's not always easy. In fact, it's almost always not easy. It takes some work in our lives. And I have been fortunate. I have several friends that I have been close with for almost 50 years. And it hadn't always been easy. We have been through some rough times together, but we're friends. There are qualities in my life that would never have developed outside of their friendship. Many of you know Ron Simpkins. He's preached here a number of times. He prayed with me the night that I got saved. And from that night until now, he is probably, no, without doubt, been the single biggest person to influence my life with Jesus and in ministry. He has also really ticked me off a number of times. I mean, and I have him. I know, you know, that's just, when I was a young believer, I'd only been saved for about 5 or 6 months. I was getting ready. I was going to a Bible conference, my first big Bible conference as a new believer. And so I'm excited and everything, and I'm getting ready to go. It's going to be a full week Bible conference. It had been built up, you know, real big. And so I'm all excited about it. Monday morning, I'm getting ready to leave. And the telephone rings, and I answer the phone. This is back in 1975, and I'm 19 years old, just turned 19. I get a telephone call, and I answer. I said, hello. And this voice on the other end of the phone says, is this Alex Wilson? I said, it is. And they said, this is the Selective Service, and we're calling to let you know you've been drafted. And I mean, my heart just went, whoa. It just was shocking because, you know, I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to the Bible conference, and now they're going to shave my head. And, you know, I had hair then. And, you know, in a nanosecond, I'm, you know, it's horrible. And then it hits me. All this happened in just, you know, seconds. And then it hits me. There isn't a draft. This is 1975. We are already out. There's no draft. And I go, who is this? And there's this cackle. Ah, it was Simpkins. Ron Simpkins on the other end just harassing me. Over the years, I got some payback on him over the years several times. But anyway, we need to recognize the value of friendships, and it's a challenge. I want to look at several things in making quality friendships. Like a marriage, a friendship involves a strong commitment, doesn't it? This is something David and Jonathan realized. We read this earlier. I'm going to read it again. It says, so the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. They made a covenant. This was a vow of friendship. And I was thinking about this. You know, we live we live in the day of disposables. We have disposable water bottles, shopping bags, disposable diapers. Our landfills are full of things that have been disposed of. We see pictures or video. We've seen, probably all of us have seen on TV, the islands in the oceans, garbage islands that have water bottles and all the other garbage that have just collected huge things because of just stuff that's been disposed of. And it's tragic. But one of the great tragedies that we've become almost accustomed to is disposable relationships. And this is true in marriages and or friendships. And I do, and it's, having said that, I understand that sometimes divorce is inevitable. I understand also that some friendships are toxic and should end. But we need to recognize the importance of long-term relationships, because we can almost be nonchalant about friendships. You know, well, friends, they just come and go. And so if we're going to have long-term commitments or long-term relationships, it involves commitment. I'm going to repeat several of the verses that we read earlier. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends himself or must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I like that phraseology there, sticks. A real friend has the tenacity to stick. Those friends that I was talking about, Joe Whitinger is one of them, and Ron Simpkins, the two I've mentioned in this class, they were both there the night that I got saved. We've been friends for going almost 49 years now, which is pretty wild. But with both of them, I have made them extremely angry at times, and they have made me really mad at times, but we're friends. So commitment, even if our friend has been a jerk or we've been the ones that were the jerk, if possible, we're just going to work it out, right? Yeah. If possible, that's what the Bible says. If possible, live peaceably with all men. So first of all, there's a commitment that's involved, and it can't be just so casual. This is one of the amazing things about pastoring, is it's just weird pastoring. It is. It's just a weird thing, because I've had people over the years that they, man, pastor, that I was just the greatest thing since sliced bread one day, and then the next day it's like, who was that masked man? It's just weird, and that's just the way it is kind of with relationships. There needs to be a little more of a tenacity in us to stick with each other. Friendship involves one, a commitment, and then also sacrifice. Jesus said in John 15:12-13, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. I've got a story here, it's a true story. During World War I, there were two friends. They were completely inseparable. They enlisted together, they trained together, they were shipped overseas together, and fought side by side in the trenches. During an attack, one of the men was critically wounded in a field filled with barbed wire obstacles, and he was unable to crawl back to his foxhole. The entire area was under withering enemy gunfire, and it was suicidal to try to reach him, yet his friend decided to try. Before he could get out of his own trench, his sergeant yanked him back inside and ordered him not to go. It's too late. You can't do him any good, and you'll only get yourself killed. A few minutes later, the officer had turned his back, and instantly the man had gone after his friend. A few minutes later, he staggered back mortally wounded with his friend now dead in his arms. And the sergeant was both angry and deeply moved. And he said, what a waste. He says, he's dead and now you're dying. It just wasn't worth it. And with almost his last breath, the dying man replied, oh, yes, it was, Sarge. When I got to him, the only thing he said was, I knew you'd come, Jim. That's awesome. And so friendship involves sacrifice. But, you know, as I tell that story, probably none of us will be required to actually give our life as far as dying for each other. There are some here who have risked your life for your country and for us and for our freedom. And God love you. Thank you. You willing to, and those some that are looking online, you did. And we bless you. We thank you for your service. But the reality is with probably most of us here, we will never have an opportunity to actually physically lay our life down for a friend. And so the sacrifice may be something as simple as just being there for a friend when they're not much fun to be around. When someone's going through a difficult time, it's not always easy to be around them, you know? It can be uncomfortable. And we may not even know what to say. I was thinking about this, and I was going through hell in my life one time, several decades ago, and Ron Simpkins called me up, and he was talking, and I was no fun to talk to. I was down, and I mean, beat up internally, and just in a bad way, and just hurt and wounded and blah, you know. And so but Ron called me up, and he's talking to me, and Simpkins, he's trying to encourage me. He says, you know what? Hey, go out and get some ice cream. And I'm thinking, I thought to myself, I almost said, you know what? I don't want stinking ice cream, you know. Blah, 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 you know. But so the advice was kind of dumb, but the sentiment and the phone call was greatly appreciated. And it's been several, like I said, several decades, and I still remember those phone calls. He would call me and encourage me, and he's a real friend. And so a real friend is there when he's needed. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So I'm getting ready to finish this off tonight. It was a sacrifice for Jonathan to be David's friend. Jonathan was to be the future king. It was his birthright. He was Saul's son. And someone, and I don't remember which author it was, I'd read this years ago, commented that Jonathan decided that he would rather be David's friend than be king. Amen. And I like that. Amen. He'd rather be David's friend than be king. During this time of David's crisis, our text tells us what Jonathan did. I'll read it again. It's in 1 Samuel 23:16. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. See, that's what a friend does. they are there. They believe in us when we may not believe in ourselves. And that's happened. I've lived this out with some of those friends in my life, especially with Ron Simpkins. There were times where he believed in me when I just didn't believe in myself. He's a good friend. Good guy. Pretty crazy, but a good guy. Great friend. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. All of us here tonight have incredible power. And that power is the ability to speak a word, just a word of encouragement to each other. And so I want to encourage us to, you know, and see, I know when you talk about friendship, it's like we have the tendency to say, yeah, I want somebody to be that kind of friend to me. If we are going to have those kind of friendships and relationships, it's on us to reach out, cultivate, and begin to step outside sometimes, maybe of our own comfort zone. It may mean sticking around for a while and trying to start a conversation. That's what I meant. Obviously, see, it's difficult. It can be. It's proving the point there. And so that's what we do. We just put ourselves and just, you know, got what I'm saying? Nod your head at me anyway. Thank you. Gary Enrich said, biblical friendship is not based on our need of others, but on their need of us. We cannot love like that without risk and without cost. And this is the reason why that it's just not always common to have that kind of close-knit relationship, because it involves commitment, sacrifice, trust, vulnerability, and all of that stuff that sometimes we just don't like to do. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I called Ron this morning because I was on, you know, he was on my mind because of this class, and talked to him, and it was just a good conversation with my friend. I told him that. I thanked him again. I told him I was going to tell the story about the selective service, and he said, "Well, I hope that's not all you say," you know. And I said, "No, and I told him that I was going to let you guys know, and some of you have heard me say this before, that he has influenced my life for Jesus and in ministry. Gosh, I can't tell you the times when I was first pastoring, we would talk on the phone for an hour, hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, and it would just help keep me sane in the midst of my own kind of insanity. And so, anyway, friends are important. All right, let's bow our heads tonight, and we're going to close with a word of prayer. Why don't you pray this out with me? Help me, Jesus, to cultivate relationships that last. I want to be able to make, keep, and be a friend. I ask for your grace to be the kind of friend others can count on. Thank you for that. Your help. Help me, Jesus, not to be so touchy. In your name, amen. Lord, tonight, seal these words in our hearts and in our lives. God, thank you for bringing us in to the kingdom of God and to the family of God. And Lord, you are helping us in our relationships, not only with you, but with each other. We praise you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Next.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.